Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Baseless Speculation, the pop culture news done on research so you don't have to. I am Joel.
I am Jackson.
And I'm Joel.
Now boys, in celebration of baby Grogu being so beautiful and cute, what would your ideal Star Wars spin-off be?
So, before we hit record, I was like, hey, we're doing this because of the news, right? And then you both looked at me and said, what news?
I became so afraid.
So, I'm just going to quickly pitch a movie to you.
Okay.
Go on.
Okay, so Kylo Ren, he, spoilers, dies.
Oh, I do know
what?
This news.
Yeah. God damn it.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry, man. I know this news.
Okay, so I'm going to pitch a movie to you. So, okay. It's going to follow Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
After the events of The Rise of Skywalker.
But he's dead.
No, but he's back.
Okay.
But it'll be a kind of mystery to how he's back.
Somehow
but
he
also
returned?
Became like a, no, it won't be a somehow Kylo Ren's returned. It'll be something to do with like the fact he was like a Force deity with Rey or some shit.
They were a triptych or whatever.
Yeah,
or
remember?
A duology?
Remember?
A dyad.
There's a Force dyad.
Oh, yeah. I vaguely remember this.
Yes.
That's how they killed Palpatine? Anyway, again.
Like that. Yeah.
Also, you got to remember like Palpatine's in a thing that can bring people back to life. Or
yeah,
whatever,
yeah.
So like.
They can figure it out. What,
anyway,
it's Star Wars.
So that's what. Yeah, so okay. Yeah. So my pitch is: Kylo Ren's returned, but he's having an inverse journey of Darth Vader, where obviously Vader, kind of in his final moments, has redemption and dies.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Kylo Ren has the rare, like, he's like fully alive still and being like after kind of turning, and he's kind of on a journey to redeem himself, but also like recover like the Ben Solo name.
Yeah.
And I think if I was to get a director, probably Steven Soderbergh.
Okay. I think I did vaguely see this news.
Yeah, so The Hunt for Ben Solo was a movie that was in production for 2 years
until
Bob Iger said, but Kylo Ren died.
Yeah.
No.
That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
Get rid of him.
And
everyone was just like, okay.
All right, man, fuck it.
2 years.
See if I can.
Finished script.
What?
The only movie with a finished script that they've been like, no.
With Soderbergh
directing?
Yeah.
Him and Adam Driver working together?
Yeah.
Mm.
What's wrong with execs? Are they fucked in the head?
Kathleen Kennedy was like, this sounds awesome.
Yeah.
And this
story. What's wrong with studio heads?
Yeah.
Then?
This story, along with a bit of other news, has made people realize, oh, we hate Kathleen Kennedy, but.
We
turns
should,
out,
yeah.
The person that's wrecking all of our stuff is, in fact, Bob Iger.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's always Bob Iger, dude.
Yeah,
Bob Iger wrecked Disney in, like, the 80s and 90s
and
as
he
well.
Came back to ruin it even further.
Yeah.
Is Bob Iger the one that fired Gunn?
Okay, so it gets confusing because Bob Iger quit.
Yeah.
And he got replaced with another Bob.
Yes, that's
and
right.
And then they brought back Bob Iger.
Because Bob Iger is, I'm not incorrect in that, right? He is responsible for a bunch of, like, dumb fuck decisions Disney made in the 90s.
Is Bob he responsible Iger. For, what was the 2D animation one that was basically, like, a luck, you know, these two, the people that did it were like, this is our, like, we want this movie to be made, we love this movie, and we really want it to be made. And then it was Disney or Bob Iger, I don't know, who were like, okay, you can do your silly little movie, but you have to make a couple of movies for us or whatever. And then they're like, fine.
Right.
And then they made their one, and they were like, no marketing, like zero marketing, and it just died. I don't know if it was like the Atlantis one or Titan AE.
It was one of those,
one
like,
of those like 2D animation ones, and it was just like,
okay,
it's nice.
Okay,
that,
Bobby boy.
Wow, they just like, they were like, look, I understand you want this thing, this type of thing, but this is our passion project.
Yeah.
You can have your passion project if you do this thing. That's fine. We'll do
well,
that.
I think,
we will play ball, and then they still get fucked.
Yeah, they still fucked them. But is it, and I know Bob Iger, I'm 99% sure, he's responsible for the whole Euro Disney like disaster where he was like, call it Euro Disney. And they were like, that's like calling it Dollar Disney. You understand? Like Euro to Europeans does not read as like,
Europe.
Europe, it reads as like the kind dollar. Of cheap and cash grabby. Oh, or right. Whatever.
Like, you know how you have, or like you have a dollar store?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
Exactly. Yeah. They were like, okay. Wow, that's, and that's because so they're already like, oh, you know, American corporate like bullshit. Mm. They're like, yeah, of course they're calling it Euro Disneyland. Mm. And also he was like, no one can have mustaches and drink wine. And the French were like, are you fucking kidding me, dude?
This is France.
That's like our two main exports is having mustaches and drinking wine.
And you want us to, first off, you're calling us cheap Disney, yeah. And now you're taking your away friend, our wine what? And our mustaches?
What the fuck?
Okay. Yeah. Sorry I disappeared from the episode for a little bit. Because it turns out that reading about Bob Iger, well, basically trying to read about CEOs real quick, it's dense.
Yeah, it's like
and my poor little boy brain was really struggling with big words like CEO, COO.
We don't understand corporate structure.
Yes, well, no,
see, here's the thing. You shave off everything so that it becomes...
You shave off every bit of hair you have.
Everyone go egg mode. Okay.
You step into the boardroom and you say, gentlemen, let's make some money.
Okay, so...
Yeah.
Bob Iger was brought in as part of the Save Disney campaign against Michael Eisner, who I think is who you were thinking of.
Okay, maybe it was.
Who? Because he was the CEO in the early 2000s.
Mm.
Bob Iger came in 2005.
So it,
and then he retired in 2020.
Oh, so he was.
And then he came back.
Yeah, okay.
So I guess he was the one that fired Gunn.
Yeah, he must have.
Yeah, I don't know, but like, didn't Feig go to him and be like, please, bless you.
Thank you.
Please don't do this.
Yeah.
Michael Eisner, who is the guy that's...
Yeah, I think Michael Eisner is the one I was thinking of, not Bob Iger.
He was the one who, he's like, he was in charge of such box office movie failures as The Emperor's New Groove and Treasure Planet.
Maybe it's Treasure Planet was the one. Yeah.
Treasure Planet is a great movie.
It's definitely like a...
Both of those movies fucking rule. Yeah. They're just, like, at the time, I guess no one saw them, but now they're both, like...
Cult classics.
Yeah. Like, I forget which one it was, but yeah, they really, like, fucked over the two writers.
Maybe it was Emperor's New Groove, because Emperor's New Groove still got
some advertising. Mm. This one almost got... I forget what it was.
Emperor's New Groove is, like, a movie that came out at exactly the right time for where I was in life. You know, sometimes a movie comes out and you're like, this is exactly what I needed. When I was like 12 or whatever and Emperor's New Groove came out, I was like, yeah, man, this is right for where I'm at in my existence.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
I remember seeing it. I don't know if I saw it at the movies. Bless you again, Jackson.
Just you're a loud boy. I'm just trying to quietly open
my lemonade. Okay?
Okay, is that a crime?
Don't blame me for fucking carbonation.
Is that a crime? No, it's not. I didn't have any sippy sip.
If it was up to me, it'd be flat, dude.
Yeah. I don't know.
You love to shake the drinks.
Okay. In the cinema, or if it was like, oh, don't shake it, please.
I'm not going to shake it.
Thank you.
If I shake it, it'll go everywhere. I'll get sticky. Is that what you want?
And the floor will get sticky, and he won't clean it. Then I'll be like, why isn't it?
Next time I come into record, I'll sit down on the chair and be like, what the fuck? Yeah. Why is it so sticky? Who did this?
Somebody needs to take a better care of his
Why did you clean this? And I'll be like,
I'm
going to go into my bathroom and have a scream.
Yeah.
We have a soundproof bathroom at the studio for it's the screaming room.
Yeah.
It's not that soundproof. We can hear a lot of
you need to be able to hear it a bit so you know what you've done to the other person.
I don't know if I saw it in the cinema. I don't remember seeing it like either on DVD.
I think,
And that was an enjoyable romp.
I might have seen both The Emperor's New Groove and Treasure Planet in the cinema. Mm. Treasure Planet had no staying power on my brain at all, but then I did watch it again as an adult and I was like, damn, this shit, good movie.
Good movie, dude.
So
he also,
Michael, he retired in 2020, then he came back.
Bob Chapek replaced him.
And he was only there for like, what,
two
a month?
2 years, and then...
They were like, Bob!
He was out.
What's the other Bob? Out of there. We got the wrong
we
Bob.
We hate this Bob. Bring us the other Bob.
Michael Eisner was ousted for Bob Iger. Then Iger retired or stepped down.
Yeah.
They brought in Bob Chapek, who was then ousted for
Bob Iger again.
That's so funny.
And do you have, off the top of your head there, I guess, we're in front of you, the age of Bob Iger.
I'm guessing 70s, probably.
65 plus.
I think he's going to be close to the 70.
Look, he is
65 plus, I guess. But
74.
Yeah.
There
Bob Chapek. A youthful 65 to 66, we're not sure.
Ah, beautiful.
He was at Disney so little that we don't even know his birthday, I guess.
Wow, dude.
Wonderful.
No impression.
But also, yeah, like, Bob Chapek got oust. Yeah. But what the fuck is a movie studio doing in 2 years? And also during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Like, what decisions did... So everything...
What did he make where they were like, you're fucking it up?
Yeah, we need to get Iger nothing. In. He can't have done anything.
No. Probably they blamed him, I'm guessing, or they used him as like a...
An excuse. To like all well, the things before him. Yeah, but pre-2020, we were doing great. Now we're doing garbage.
It must be Chapek.
I don't know what's happened, but also, you hear all the problems.
Yeah, nothing globally could be affecting
us. Listen to this fucking Bob Iger politics weaseling playing both sides fuckheadery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Bob Iger has described himself as a centrist. Okay. Cowardly start. Mm-hmm. But... He previously identified with the Democratic Party.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In 2016, he switched his party registration from Democratic to Independent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then to fight back against...
Mm-hmm.
Wait, where'd it go? I was. Oh, yeah, here.
Yeah.
Yeah, he swapped from Democratic to Independent. And then it was during a dispute over Disney Resort's low wages.
Yeah.
Because, like... Bernie Sanders had like come for him and been like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Disney earns so much money.
Uh-huh. And I'm like, how dare then, you accuse me of earning too much money?
Money,
I'm not paying you want my stuff.
To, yeah. What?
But
you
then,
want me to raise the...
No.
So yeah, he has a falling out with Bernie Sanders, who calls him out in particular, changes from Democratic to Independent, then co-chairs a fundraiser with Hillary Clinton in 2016 presidential campaign.
Bernie was like, Independent. Anyway.
Yeah.
And then... Mm-hmm. So he's the then Trump names him as part of the Strategic and Policy Forum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then 6 months later, he withdraws from that position out of protest to a decision Trump made, which is crazy. So he does a fundraiser of Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
She loses. He immediately is like, well,
I know where the money is.
I love this guy.
Or could have just been like, well, I'm getting poached by this guy. He's paying me a lot of money.
Yeah.
And like, you know,
work for Disney, and Disney does not truly have any political affiliation other than let us keep existing and let us keep making fat stacks.
The reason
the LGBTQI community, we keep putting him in our
lesbian
media,
cops.
See, what's that? No, cut the trans. Oh, yeah, no, cut
get
that whole storyline.
Yeah, that's right.
We have morals, they lie.
Yeah.
God. And then,
anyway, but look
much.
At our rainbow
logo.
Look how much we're
for you, dude.
Slay. Up until 2016, where
cancel your Disney Plus subscription.
Anyway,
go on. Sorry,
well, it's all right. I mean, like, we'll read a little bit more about Bob Iger and the decisions he's made.
Yeah.
So, up until 2016, obviously, if you were the president, you probably couldn't be a CEO of a company.
Mm-hmm.
So he steps down and is like, maybe I should run for president as a Democratic leader.
Okay, I get
it. But ultimately decided against it. Mm-hmm. I would say because you were in Trump's pocket and you're not going to run against your best friend.
No, of course
also,
not.
Also, Bob Iger knew about John Lasseter making out with a junior staffer.
Yeah.
And also knew about Harvey Weinstein.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess that does make you fit for a current American
president.
Well,
that's true. That's a very good point, actually. It's, you know, pretty good
credentials. He then said the strikes are not realistic.
Yeah.
Well, hey, he's sounding more and more presidential.
Yeah.
He gave Trump $16 million.
Okay.
Yeah,
kind of paltry, really.
Yeah, kind of paltry. Although paying someone off, that doesn't sound very presidential.
You know who is? So I don't know if you've read the news. And like late night talk shows.
Yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel. He said something that was the least offensive thing I've ever heard anyone say.
Correct. Yes.
And then he got stepped down by ABC. Yeah. Who's owned by? Who owns ABC?
Why, can I take it?
Guess. I'll give you one guess.
Yeah, okay.
Let me think.
Start with a B and end with an Iger, dude.
Well, it starts with a D and ends in an Isney, where the CEO is Bob Iger.
Yeah, dude.
Interesting.
Despicable.
Michael Eisner has also just been chirping off in the background while all of this stuff happens. He's just like, he was just like, hey, where's all the leadership gone? And maybe the Constitution should have said Congress shall make no laws abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, except in one's political or financial self-interest. Cop that, Bob.
Dude, that's awesome. Michael Eisner, I know nothing about him politically other than that I think he was a bit of an idiot.
He also knew about the Weinstein stuff.
Well, that I guess doesn't surprise me either, really.
It's crazy that CEOs are bad.
That doesn't make sense to me.
But yeah, Bob Iger was seen as like, oh, finally, he's going to come back and save Disney. But Bob Chapek didn't do anything. Yeah, like, literally didn't do anything.
Yeah. Well, I'm guessing that they just blamed the failings that were the result of the pandemic.
Yep.
Bob Iger reportedly resisted relinquishing power to Bob Chapek from the outset, insisting on keeping his office and kept referring to himself as Big Bob and calling Chapek Little Bob.
That is awesome. That is really cool. Christ.
That's great coming from, I guess, then a what? A almost 70-year-old man?
That's true. That's
I don't understand how fragile is your ego?
Yeah.
That you are probably one of the most well-paid people in the world.
Mm.
Who, as the CEO of Disney, one of the biggest brands in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And you probably are taking a lot of, like, you know, back-end deals, et cetera, et cetera.
Of course,
you are extremely wealthy.
Mm.
You have a lot of clout, a lot of power, and yet...
I know.
And yet, you're like, no, I must be called Big Bob.
That's so funny, dude.
Like, how small...
It's so embarrassing.
Like, is your ego and, like... I don't know, how much does your dick don't work? That you must be like, I'm Big Bob.
I'm Big Bob, you're little Bob.
I found out why Bob Chapek was fired. And yeah, hey, it turns out in 2 years you can make really stupid decisions.
Oh, okay.
So I forgot about this second one, but the first one is kind of obvious. So he was the person in charge of, like, being like, Mulan should go to streaming really quick, same day as cinemas, but it should be cost extra money.
Okay.
Soul shouldn't get a theatrical release. Pixar movies, they Disney Plus is the future.
Yeah,
okay. That was him.
Okay. And I mean, that was also during the pandemic when you couldn't actually go to a...
October 2020.
Yeah. Still people would...
Like at least we, I think we were in Melbourne, but like, I don't know about every other country.
I mean, also like in that period of time, it was like, yeah, okay, your country mightn't have a lockdown, but is it safe to be in a big crowd?
Like, do you want to go to the cinema?
And so I can imagine, like, you know, as a knee-jerk reaction making that.
Yeah, you might be like,
but then to maybe not make the claim that this is the future.
Yeah.
Like, maybe be like, hey, just while things are a bit dicey, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, no, this forevermore.
This is the permanent solution.
I understand why that might get you into a little bit of, like, you know, dicey waters with your shareholders.
Yeah. What's the second thing?
And also, like, he opened Disney World too early and everyone was like, hey, this isn't
that.
Bad.
Yeah.
And then he was like, don't worry, we're doing... temperature checks and wearing face masks. And everyone's like,
Not enough. Okay.
But the other thing, the big thing that I think is what they made an example of him and fired him over was he refused to push back on the Parental Rights in Education Act, which is was commonly referred to as the Don't Say Gay law.
Oh,
he was just, and his quote is insane. It's so cynical.
Yeah.
But it's like, it seems like, it's like, it starts smart guy cynical and then it's just like, shut up.
Yeah.
Corporate statements do very little to change outcomes or minds. Instead, they are often weaponized by one side or the other to further divide and inflame. Simply put, they can be counterproductive and undermine more effective ways to achieve change. And then everyone was like, you're just trying to justify the fact that, because Disney didn't push back on it and continued to fund people that were for it. And then they're like, and then backflipped and was like, we've been opposed to the bill from the outset and we've been donating to several LGBT plus organizations. And then the Human Rights Campaign was like, hey, Disney, we don't want your money until you do a meaningful change.
What are you talking about? We've got all these lesbian cops.
Yeah, is that not enough?
Is that not enough?
In the Pixar movie Onward?
Yeah.
After they they were like, we don't want your money unless you do a meaningful change.
Yeah.
Then Chapek comes out again and formally apologized for prior statements.
Yeah.
And then announces the company will be ceasing donations to all political parties in Florida whilst looking to further improve their support for the LGBT plus causes.
Well, they got the people got Deadpool and Wolverine. So
was that
one of their examples? The MCU's queerest movie.
This was later considered to be one of the main reasons why the Florida government pushed to reappeal the Reedy Creek Improvement Act. What the fuck is that? And God, I'm in the trenches.
Yeah, you gotta get out.
It's crazy, just like how much I guess the toxic politics that is America has affected so much about like the thing that everything is politics.
Yeah.
You know, there's always a thing of like what is being talked about, what isn't being talked about. Just the very nature of not talking about something or making that choice is a political statement.
Political act.
Like, again, like, you know, it's like I watch Phil DeFranco and like he has like often say, I think I made a t-shirt about it. It's like, don't fuck with, don't fuck with politics I don't fuck with politics. Or, you know, what was it? It's like, if you don't fuck with politics, politics will fuck with you.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, yeah.
And so it's like, yeah, by being like, look, I'm a centrist.
I'm not picking a side.
I'm going to be apolitical.
You've picked a side.
You've picked a side. That is often the status quo.
Yeah.
Which is often usually the...
not great.
Not great.
The thing that needs to be changed.
Do you know what the Reedy Creek Improvement Act was?
It's something terrible, I'm guessing.
It's not. It's just kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So... the bill, which was sought by and pushed for by Disney, was signed into law in May 12, 1967, and it is.
Wait, You say.
So, it establishes the area surrounding the Walt Disney World Resort as its own.
It's like making Disney the town, right?
Yeah. That then they have exactly the same amount of Disney have the same rights as a county.
Yeah. Yeah, this is exactly what famous anti-Semite
Henry Ford
did.
Yeah,
which did, in a way, help build America, but also led to exactly the problems you would imagine.
Because
Disney almost like rotten from the start.
Yeah, it's almost like this apple came out fucked up.
Well, because it was like a sidestep from Walt Disney wanting to build the Epcot.
Yeah,
which he was like, I want to build the community of tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
He wanted to make a city.
Yeah, that's never a good sign.
I love when
dude.
A corporation.
That's how you get a Bioshock.
Make a city. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Anyway, look, my ultimate Star Wars spinoff. This is an idea I've had for a while.
Yeah,
it's a TV show called Get the Gungan. Okay, Jar Jar Binks.
Get him to the Gungan.
Get him to the Gungan.
No, I don't want to be associated in any way with Russell Brand, dude,
or anyone else in that film.
Anyone in Get Him to the Green. There's no one good in that movie. Dude.
Jonah Hill.
No. Nice try,
Rose Byrne.
I think she's
Australian.
Okay, she might be.
What about the Diddy?
Oh, P. Diddy. Hang on, he's still good, right? Well, fuck, Elizabeth Moth's in it too. Yeah. Elizabeth Moss.
Who's Elizabeth Moth? Dude,
I don't know.
A moth you're friends with?
Yeah, a moth I'm friends with.
Yeah.
This cast is fucked.
It's bad, dude.
It's not, obviously, Russell Brand and P. Diddy.
Yeah.
Bad. Mm-hmm. But then you've got Elizabeth Moss, Aziz Ansari. TJ Miller.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's really
Nick Kroll, whose dad famously did 9/11.
Yeah, yeah. It's best to move on.
I remember it was coming up before. Yeah. Katie's like, Google it. I tried to Google it, but I couldn't find exactly what you were talking about. Yeah. So either that my algorithm is somehow censoring your Googling. Where I couldn't find the exact keywords, right?
Jules Kroll, his dad worked for the intelligence agency and knew about, like, you know how with 9/11 stuff, they didn't know that 9/11 was going to happen necessarily, but they kind of knew something was going to happen. Jules Kroll was like, "Yeah, bitch, this is going to be awesome for me." Nick Kroll's dad killed Pete Davidson's dad.
Yeah.
Dad fight.
Well, don't worry about it. You know?
Yeah.
It's probably one of the most canceled movies, I feel like recently we uncovered another one, but that one's up there. My TV show, it would be set after the original trilogy because Palpatine needs to have been taken down. And I don't know in the lore, and I frankly don't care if Jar Jar Binks, where he is by this time. In my mind, in my TV show, he's retired to the Outer Rim to work as a private eye.
Okay. Do you know what his role was?
He was a senator, in the Galactic Senate.
He had the final vote.
And he got the final vote. That's important to my show, okay? Because he's hiding out. Because no one likes Jar Jar Binks. Mm-hmm. The rebels or the current government are like, well, he was instrumental. Enough time has passed.
You could have stopped
it. He could have stopped it.
It was
the remains of the Empire are like, we don't know what he knows because he helped get, Palpatine into power. obviously he's an important asset, so he's going into hiding. Mm. And then, and it's kind of what I expected the Obi-Wan TV show to be, so it's kind of that vibe, where he's like a private eye, he's addicted to death sticks, he's staying low, but then one case, whatever it is, it gets him on the radar of both the, you know, the good guys and the bad guys, and so you got the good guys coming after him, the bad guys coming after him. You've got a colorful collection of bounty hunters all trying to chase down Jar Jar Binks, who is a chain-smoking private eye in a kind of noir pulp detective TV show. Get the Gungan. Maybe he's got a femme fatale Twi'lek or some shit.
It's crazy because this actually could fit into canon.
Well, that's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
So I know you just said you don't want to know, but I do have the answer. But
well, if it works, I'm glad.
I think you will like this.
Okay.
So in the the 2017 Star Wars novel, Star Wars : Aftermath : Empire's End.
You can't have two colons.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Don't do that.
Hey, first of all, book.
You can't do that. No. You get one if you're good.
If you want, you could do a dash.
You could do a dash.
You could do
dash is fine. Dash is fine. Two colons.
I'm guessing Aftermath is the series and Empire's End is the book. Anyway,
Wars presents Aftermath :
Star Wars presents. Star Wars Aftermath.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's true.
Book one. Blah.
So it's Star Wars.
No colons there.
Star Wars : Aftermath is a trilogy of books and all of anyway.
You don't need the colon.
Too many colons.
You could have called it Star Wars.
You should have just called it
Star Wars Aftermath. Anyway,
that's it. Anyway. That's your trilogy.
Let's books.
We're mad at books now.
Mad at books. Finally.
You know what I also don't like? PlayStation. I mean, I played on PlayStation, but the game series, the EA Star Wars series, the series title is Star Wars Jedi. Just because it was Jedi Fallen Order.
That is stupid.
Jedi Survivor. So now it's Star Wars Jedi : Fallen Order Survivor.
That's so stupid. That is
very makes the name worse.
You at that point, you don't even need the colon. You just have... What are they doing?
It's ridiculous, dude.
Why not just go Star Wars Fallen Order if Jedi
What's the Jedi doing?
Nothing.
Fallen Order and surviving.
Yeah. No, but I mean, in that title, what's the function of that Jedi?
Yeah,
doing nothing for you.
Yeah, you could just do Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. That's all you need.
Star Wars Fallen Order, Star Wars Survivor.
Yeah.
Maybe not Star Wars Survivor.
Star Wars Survivor. They're on an island.
Yeah. I survived the Star Wars.
Yeah, this is the Jedi duology?
Yeah.
Stupid.
It's ridiculous, dude.
I think there'll be a third one. I don't know.
Probably.
Yeah.
What was the one where you played as like a Han Solo type that came out recently?
Star Wars Outlaws?
That's okay.
Yeah.
But if the next one's called Star Wars Outlaws Survivor or some shit.
Star Wars Outlaws : people like this one.
Star Wars : Outlaws : Jedi : Survivors.
Star Wars Outlaw : Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah. You do something like, Star Wars : Outlaws : and then just the word :.
You know what else really
Star Wars :
You know what else really fucking pisses me off? When it's like Star Wars character name? Like it was just like Star Wars Han Solo Outlaw or something like that. Don't put a character name in the title.
Yeah.
I don't like it even like when like other... Comic book characters I'm okay with because their books are just their name.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. We got a proud tradition of that.
But yeah, like even if it was like, I don't know, like if there was a Doctor Who thing and it was called like Doctor Who Rose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No.
You don't like name? Is that it? Or is it, was like Doctor
I just
Who?
Don't like when they use a name as a title of a thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why? I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
I think what happens in my brain is I see that.
Yeah, the problem is Doctor Who is also the name of the series.
Yeah, so, which is why like Iron Man would be fine.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If it was like Iron Man
Tony Stark. Iron Man Tone.
Yeah,
no,
that would be bad.
Good though. That's really good.
More like if it was Iron Man : Pepper Potts.
Yeah.
Iron Man : Happy.
What about like say Hellboy : The Crooked Man?
That's again,
or Hellboy : Seeds of Destruction.
That's fine.
I think that's fine too.
It's just like if the...
But if it was like Hellboy : Abe Sapien?
I just don't like when there's a spin-off
that would
uses,
piss me off. Yeah.
Yeah, don't... Like,
I guess,
you're making a spin-off, don't make the character's name the title of your spin-off.
Yeah.
Is the thing that bothers me.
I think it's just more about, like, if you are doing that, you kind of need to have some level of notoriety of who it's doing. So, for example... like, you know, it's all about branding, right? So you got like, X-Men. You're like, all right, that's the brand. Everyone knows the brand. Yeah. Colon Wolverine. I'm like, okay,
yeah.
There you go. I understand that you're not a big fan, but I'm like, okay, so you're trying to be like, well, that's already a known entity and you're trying to get two of these things together. This whole thing where it's Star Wars, the known entity, colon, Aftermath.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
That's ridiculous.
What are you
doing? It's too much, dude. It's too much.
Also, like, Aftermath and Empire's End is stupid because Aftermath
is
obviously,
the Empire's End. Yeah.
Anyway.
Because
Star Wars,
Aftermath, Empire's End, which is set after the events of Return of the Jedi, obviously, because it's the aftermath of the
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Finds Jar Jar Binks as a street performer who entertains refugee children, but is loathed by adults who blame him for his part in the rise of the Empire.
Okay. Nice. There you go.
All right. So, yeah, he goes from being a street performer to a private eye.
To a private eye. He's got a little office somewhere in the Outer Rim. And I think there needs to be, I mean, you know, if you're doing a noir, he needs to uncover some conspiracy. Like,
of course.
Like, he's got some piece of information integral to, you know, I don't know, to either how Palpatine got into power or to how to, you know, get rid. Maybe Palpatine had some extra plan in case he died. And they're like, well, you know, for some reason, Jar Jar's got it, or he's only got a piece of it and he doesn't know what it is. But then he realizes that's what it's part of. Maybe this is another classic noir thing. The femme fatale is actually kind of there to betray him down the track.
Oh, yeah. You know? It could be a thing where it's like he inadvertently had done a previous case, which like if, you know, Jar Jar maybe was better at his job or was paying a bit more attention, well, that actually is going to be a, like more integral to the larger scheme.
Yes,
this femme fatale knows about that and he's coming in to, you know, hire him for something else, but try to get the thing that he had or like that, whatever, off the
But he's
the
so map. Much of a, and he's probably an alcoholic too, that he's just not paying attention, you know. And I think he still needs to do the noir. He needs to be like, she's a walk into my office. Legs are up on a wazoo.
Well, plus you've got like, you know, you've got some good, you know, set pieces there with, you know, again, using like, I don't know if they interacted, but I think they should.
Yeah.
Dexter Jetster.
Yes. He goes to the Dexter because he's got to go to Coruscant. He's like, fuck, I got to do this in disguise because it's a big hub. They're going to, it is on Coruscant, Dexter Justice.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, even
he,
like, wherever he's set up now.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he's got to go there.
He's like, I got to go there because I got to get information. Yeah. And Dexter Justice says, what are you doing here, Jar Jar? The whole galaxy is trying to get you. And he's like, but I got to fucking solve this case or whatever. And, you know, every episode you introduce, you do the thing that The Mandalorian said it was going to do, where it sticks to a genre, where it sticks to the noir genre the whole time.
That's been in for like 10 years now, maybe even longer, to say you're doing a genre and then not do the genre and just make bad
classic
boys.
Classic TV, dude.
Can I maybe make this worse?
Oh, I'd love you to.
I want to be able to like really fuck this up in true like Star Wars.
Well,
style.
Yeah. So I've come in and I've said, hey, I've got this pitch. It's close to my heart. Yep. Get the Gungan.
Cool.
I've given you the pitch, and now I hand it to you,
right,
the Star Wars execs.
So how about
to
this?
Ruin
to the, it's to Anakin the- Skywalker.
So the piece of information that he has is the location of Obi-Wan.
Okay.
Or the location of the twins.
Mm-hmm.
So you tie it in that way.
Yep.
So like he has to go to Tatooine.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's got to go to
funny whatever. To have, you know, that scene in the Obi-Wan TV show where he goes back and chats to Anakin.
Yeah.
I mean to Luke or whatever.
Yeah.
He leaves and then another ship arrives and Jar Jar gets out.
Well, unfortunately,
yeah,
this doesn't work if you said it while the twins are babies.
Yeah. Right?
Because he got Palpatine into power, who is still
It needs to be set after the original trilogy.
Oh, the original trilogy.
Yeah.
It can't be set after the prequel trilogy because at that point, Jar Jar will still have the same job he just
He's
had.
Still in the Galactic Senate. Right. So it needs to be set after the Empire is toppled.
Okay. So then, so then as an exec, we'd be like, can we do this after the original prequels?
And I go, I don't really know if it makes sense.
So that the information that he has.
And then the twist is that he's still secretly. Oh, you can do the robot chicken twist.
Oh, yeah. Excuse Why was it the robot chicken twist? Where he's actually evil. So it's like Darth Jar Jar.
Right.
Yeah.
So I really think the name Get the Gungan is.
But you want Darth Jar Jar?
Well, also, like, Get the Gungan, is he getting the Gungan?
No. Everybody wants to get the Gungan.
I don't understand that. You should call it Darth Jar Jar.
You should, yeah.
And then the twist would be that he's Darth Jar Jar.
What about get the Get the Jar Jar.
What about Get Him to the Greek?
You're an exec that's just been trying to remake Get Him to the Greek.
It's like, yeah,
any on opportunity.
On my resume, the only producing credit I had was casting for Get Him to the Greek, so I'm trying really hard.
Somebody's like, I've got a children's TV series, 6 episodes, kind of like Adventure Time, and you're like, interesting, interesting.
So I just really need to make something that's really similar in title to Get Him to the Greek, so when people Google me, they don't see casting director for Get Him to the Greek, because every single person I cast is a piece of shit.
Yeah. But if this new Get Him to the Greek is like the number one spot, that's going to be real good for me.
Well, it's not really called Get Him to
the Greek. No. So we'll take Get Him to the Gungan or whatever, and we're like Darth Jar Jar, Get Him to the Greek.
Nice.
Okay. And it's set after the original trilogy, and Jar Jar Binks is bad, but that's the twist.
Yeah.
But it's called Darth Jar Jar, because if people are on their phones, we need them to know what's happening. But casting, I'm thinking, because I want to avoid controversy.
Well, I want to keep, what's his name? Please. Ahmed Best. I feel like it's a nice, because he.
We're casting Louis C.K.
You have a real curse. Or it's not even controversial, the actor, but the moment you cast them, you look at your phone.
No,
bad news.
Okay, so yeah, what, I guess, little secrets or like little things we could tie in of the original trilogy at the end of. That, like, it's this, like, seminal piece of information that
Boba Fett,
changed
you could have,
things,
you could have Jar Jar somehow responsible for getting Boba Fett out of the hole.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember if we saw it in the Book of Boba Fett. And the reason I can't remember if we saw it or not is because I did not watch that series.
Yeah. Is there anything in the, you probably want to shy away from the sequel trilogy because that's just what the TV shows do. Yeah. Nobody's interested in, because I was like,
could you set something up
that happens in the sequel trilogy.
Maybe he has to talk to the Mandalorian?
Okay.
Because that's
the thing he knows is where Grogu is.
Well, because here's the thing. Like, you're setting
your
spinoff is set when every single Star Wars spinoff ever is set.
Yeah, I know.
Could you do something, and this is like, it has to come out between, like...
I don't want him to meet anyone. So, all new characters.
We got to get Ahsoka to the Greek.
No. How about this?
Get him out of the board, dude. Get him out of the meeting.
Okay. Have this. So the thing he uncovers, he doesn't realize he's working for Snoke, but he doesn't realize it because he's trying to track down the new Jedi Academy or Ben Solo. So that, like, that's where, finally Snoke finds Ben Solo to corrupt him. So then Jar Jar, not only is he responsible for the previous, like, downfall of the Republic, he's actually now again responsible for the rise of the First Order.
Okay, well, that's
really somehow making Jar Jar the most important and linchpin character for so many atrocities.
I was just trying to make, like, a sort of 6 to 8 episode sort of fun genre piece.
Yeah, team him up with a de-aged Adam Driver. We're de-aging Adam Driver to be 10.
Oh, how about this? Okay, so what if his last thing, because, okay, he said after the trilogy, the one.
Okay, so you know how we're in a constant state of chaos and fighting for our lives every single day on this godforsaken earth? Between work and everything else falling apart around me, I have not had it together enough to meal prep or plan dinner, or honestly function like a normal human being most weeknights. Cooking something good is hard, and I deserve a modicum of joy every now and again. That's why I've turned to Omaha Steaks. My freezer is full. That's sorted. It is genuinely the one part of my life running smoothly. Real steaks, burgers, seafood, chicken, sides, all shipped to my door. So even on the nights where everything else is on fire, dinner isn't one more thing to stress about. I made the burgers the other night, didn't even have the energy to think, just pulled them out, threw them on the grill, and they tasted like something from an actual steakhouse. Somehow, the one corner of my life that's together is the one I didn't even have to think about. If you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the easiest way in. 20 premium steak burgers across 5 cuts. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's right, BEEF. B-E-E-F. omahasteaks.com. Promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
It was triplets. boots. Oh, and he's no. hunting down the third child.
Okay. Luke, and then, Leia, yeah. and Log.
Yeah.
Log.
And Log. Let me give you some information about Log. And it's a thinly veiled me. You know what I mean? Okay. I just Mary Sue yeah. my way into this.
Log Zabot mm-hmm. Skywalker.
Yeah, and yeah. Log has three lightsabers, but they're bigger than yeah. normal lightsabers. You,
and nunchucks.
Yeah, and a
and
gun.
Like,
yeah.
he was trained as a ninja.
Yeah, and, actually, you're, yeah. and you're like, yeah. and there's a new planet that we're going to pitch called Greek, and he needs to get Log. Yeah. Jar Jar needs yeah. to get Log like, to Greek.
And then he can maybe like stroke a furry wall or something.
Yeah, so we call yeah, it, yeah, get yeah, him, yeah. just as a spitballing on idea. An idea.
Darth Jar Jar and Log, get him to the Greek.
Is that not too similar a name to the movie you were the casting director of?
I don't know no. what movie you're talking about. That?
I've done a lot of casting.
Yeah, so
I look at your resume. No, you haven't.
Louis C.K. as Jar Jar and Log, because obviously he's an adult now.
Yeah, yeah, well, let's get
Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey, okay. or what? How about this? Two heads?
Uh-huh.
It'll be Kevin Spacey and Russell Brand.
Two heads.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, Spacey, fuck. I've worked with Russell Brand before. That I don't. I need yeah. to avoid that heat. Jared Leto.
Done. I come in. With a fun pitch, I think, oh, every episode could be a different kind of interesting bounty hunter. You know, it feels like a kind of similar to that scene in the original trilogy with Darth Vader has all those fun bounty hunters, you know, that are iconic.
So hang on, your pitch for Get the Gun Gun is every episode a different bounty hunter is chasing Jar Jar Binks?
Well, not every episode, but over the course of the show, a bunch of colorful yeah. bounty hunters come and try and get him.
Yeah.
And Darth Jar, not Darth Jar Jar, you've tricked me.
I like that he's taken notes.
He's listening for the first time in his life.
No,
you're
and
right.
Jar Jar, yeah. who everybody only refers to as the Gungan,
yeah.
know, he's not a great fighter and he's not very intelligent, but he manages to get out of every mm-hmm. scrap by the skin of his teeth.
He mm-hmm. is intelligent.
Well,
that's his thing.
That's fine. Then he tricks everybody by mm-hmm. acting stupid,
yeah,
or whatever,
yeah.
to finally get to the end. And you know, like every noir, he gets to the end and he's mm-hmm. safe, but he's not saved the day. Mm-hmm. It's none of he's going to go back to the outer room. But no, I yeah. come out of this. Yeah. My friends text me like, Jackson, how'd the pitch go?
Bad.
And I look at the message on the bus and I don't answer. I put it in my foot bucket and look out the window yeah. and I say, was it worth it coming to fucking Hollywood for this?
Yeah. To get your idea yeah. taken and turned into Darth Jar Jar and Log Skywalker.
Get him to the creek. I got to go home and tell my parents. They go, was the pitch good? And I go,
no.
yeah. I don't know.
They
I mean,
the script
I think,
off me for
yeah,
40 bucks.
They like the idea. They like yeah. the idea. So we'll see what happens.
In the original, well, again, the prequel trilogy, mm-hmm. Did all the Gungans talk like how Jar Jar talk? Or was that a Jar Jar special?
I think Boss Nass
has a different...
You don't see
like
many
clicks
other
does.
Gungans talk, do you?
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
There's a bunch of, like, that arrest him and stuff.
Oh, that's true.
So I just, look, hey.
Yeah.
That can be annoying after a while.
That
and
is
I imagine,
true.
You know, that narrated by Jar Jar. Like,
she's
you know,
a walk into Misa yeah, office.
Yeah, that is
with
not...
her legs up to a hero.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm,
that will, mm-hmm. well, maybe, you know.
I was just wondering if, is that like a.
Of all the notes I've received in this meeting.
Affectation, or yeah. is that just a Jar Jar thing?
Look.
Sir, the Gungans do, like, have a sort of accent, but it's nowhere near as strong as Jar Jar.
Okay, yeah, I'd get him to tone it down.
Well, look.
Tone it up.
Or tone it up.
Okay.
Make it a full racist.
Okay.
I love this guy.
Okay.
How has he not been fired?
Dude, they love me because I'm full of so many good ideas.
Every good movie you've ever seen has been the result of this one executive.
Full racist,
and more like get him to the Greek, I think.
I love the idea of like you turn it into more of a comedy, like Fletch or whatever.
Mm.
Like you end up being a bit of a slapsticky thing. And then it's like, because that's a way of ruining it without,
without going
chucking
ridiculous.
In like Log or getting to the Greek.
I can imagine realistically.
No movie.
I know.
Log is the heart of Darth Jar Jar and Log. Get him to the Greek.
She had triplets.
And like we had two good ones and one bad one that we named Log.
Oh, so Log's bad?
Yeah. That's why he's with Darth Jar Jar.
Okay. He's like evil Luke.
Yeah, and that's why he wants to go
Darth
to the
Jar Jar
Greek.
The whole time.
Okay.
Even in episode one.
Right.
Make sure that's in the notes.
So Darth Jar Jar in his office, he. you know, drinks some galactic whiskey, and then he goes, log. And there's a little boy that lives with him.
Usalog.
Usalog. Or is the accent completely gone?
No, well, I mean, the race, like, are you going full races?
Oh, we're going full races. That's right. Yeah,
you can go first during break.
I like this. Like, yeah, since episode one, but you're like, but
Anakin's was a 10. Little
boy. He was a little boy.
Oh, actually, maybe Log could be Anakin's brother.
Yeah. Oh, okay. There was a second brother.
And Palpatine, who's back,
yeah,
wants to turn him into another Darth Vader. Yeah,
and maybe Log.
Have some flashbacks to episode one, where Shmi or whatever her name is, she looking at her little boy Anakin, and then he goes like, yippee, runs off, and then she looks over at Log.
Okay. Who's lying?
He's lying there smoking a jazz cigarette.
Yeah, but like lying but down.
He's cool.
And he's one of the greatest pod racers that ever existed.
He's the greatest pod racer, but he doesn't want to do it because he's not cool.
Oh, you know what? Maybe he's terrible at pod racing, but he's figured out he got the force first.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And he's using all of his force powers to cheat it. Yeah. What's that card game called?
Exactly.
This pitch, what it sounds like is going to happen now is that, you know, I'll have all my friends gathered around and I'll be like, yeah, they're going to show Get the Gungan. And it'll be like, The Adventures of Log. Jar Jar's not in it. And it's got nothing to do with my original pitch.
The first scene of the movie is like, it fades in and Jar Jar's like, I've got a bit of information.
Yeah.
It's all like very serious and like exactly what you want. A bit funny.
Yeah.
But and then you just hear someone say, Get the Gungan.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, they're doing
it. They're doing it. Oh my God.
And then Log just pops up and just fires a shot directly into Jar Jar's head.
Oh, that's not
what?
Everybody turns to look at me.
In Star Wars, guns are legal now, and I'm Log Skywalker. Who the fuck are you?
Yeah. I'm here to avenge my brother's death, who I think Jar Jar killed.
And now to find the other people I think he killed. What is this this was your pitch, Jackson?
They're just to slams on the screen. Adventures of Log.
Created by Jackson. Written, directed, and created by
directed.
Yeah.
I didn't think I did.
I signed
that.
A bad contract, dude. Because Disney already knows it's tanking, so they're attaching it to me.
Yeah.
You've ruined it.
Yeah. I get a lot of hate mail online.
Yeah.
People go, you should kill yourself for creating the Adventures of Log. Okay.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I was thinking an idea, because I like the something to do with the Rancor and like the Rancor owner.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think that's a very nice.
He loves his dog.
He loves his big dog.
Until his big dog gets its head pretty much cut off.
Yeah. So I think maybe like we have to be set after that. And it's like, it's kind of like, you could almost go like a John Wick where it's like his dog is dead and then he goes on a revenge thing. Or
to
you
kill
do
Luke Skywalker.
Or you do like a pig. The Nicolas Cage one where his dog is dead and he just wants to like, you know, make the world a better place kind of stuff. Mm. He's anti-John Wick.
Yeah, okay.
But you could do like a heartfelt, story about the Rancor owner. Like, you know, he loved that big
that Rancor and it was destroyed.
And so like, you know, him now like, you know, going like spiraling out of control.
Yeah.
You know that wonderful like shot they do where it's like very close up of the guy's face as the world is spinning around him. He's like, oh, I'm on so many fucking drugs. That thing is your opening scene.
Yeah. So he's on a bender after
he's
what
on
happened
a bender. He's not handling this at all.
Yeah.
Well.
Okay.
Instead of he's on a bender, same thing.
Yeah.
And then it like does like a hard cut to like a shot of above the room and he's just killed a whole bunch of people in a room.
Oh, that's
and
good.
Then it goes back. It's like, five space days earlier.
I was honestly waiting for him to be like, and then you got to get him to the Greek.
What if he's really waiting?
Yeah, I was really waiting.
What if instead he needs to get a new Rancor and the guy who breeds the Rancor's name is Greek?
And you got to get him.
Get him to the Greek.
Yeah. So it's like this guy, because also, is that,
Jonah Hill could probably be there.
Oh, yeah. Jabba's dead at this point. So basically, he's lost his dog, he's lost his job. You know, he's probably loathed by the people of Tatooine. All the
people
there.
Did he blow up when the barge exploded?
Yeah.
Hey, if
he was underground.
If old mate, if
underground in a floating ship.
Yeah, dude. Yes. If Bubby Fett can get out of that big hole in the ground.
Oh yeah.
Rancor boy can also have not been on the barge. Yeah. Or if he did,
do you want me
to
find out his name?
Sure.
Yeah.
He ducked at the right time.
What about Rancor, if it's like, so you have this guy and he's like, he's either on a path for revenge because his Rancor was killed. And at the same time, in Tatooine, this is in Tatooine, right?
Yeah.
In Tatooine, there's a vacuum of power in the Hutt people. There's the Hutt crime families.
Yeah.
So all of the Hutt crime families are like, we've got to figure out who's next in line. It's a bit of a mob movie.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're like, somebody is taken out or, you know, seeking revenge on all these people. What's going on? There's a random chaotic element in the Hutt crime, you know, fucking thing.
And like, it's because I like, could Rancor man, could he be like, I kind of a little bit blame like Jabba for this?
The Rancor was chained up down there. It wasn't living in good conditions.
No.
You know, so he could be like, I love that Rancor, but it lived its life in slavery and then was killed by a rock?
Luke Skywalker.
Luke Skywalker.
Dropping the thing.
Yeah, dropping the, that's right. Yeah.
He drops the door on
the door. Yeah. That's what I was trying to remember.
Angry at doors.
that's what's going to happen to you. Okay. What if he doesn't hate Hutts, but he hates the door?
Okay.
Right? Yeah.
So, Malakili.
Yeah. Malakili.
Yeah. M-A-L-A-K-I.
Malakili. All right. Star Wars, colon, Malakili.
Okay. So what happens to him in the expanded stuff is that all of this happens that we see on screen. Over the following months, Malakili is one of the last to leave the palace because there's the barge.
Yeah.
Then, so he does survive.
Hey.
And then he doesn't know what to do. His purpose... feels purposeless without his creatures, and he considers committing suicide.
My God, dude.
He's already done.
Damn.
I'll cut through all the shit he goes through, but basically he ends up finding Cobb Vanth, who is in fucking Mandalorian.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, and then he reunites with the former head chef of Jabba's Palace, and they open the Crystal Moon Restaurant.
Okay. So I guess,
not where I expected it to go.
Similar vibe, but I think it needs to, you know, he goes for either revenge, like he's going to be like, I need to, like, you know, destroy the, you know, the Jedi's. And you could have a cameo by a de-aged Mark Hamill.
Of course.
Because that's what you want.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, maybe he's, like, you know, finally trying to get his revenge against this guy, and it could be set, you know, like many years into the future where maybe he's setting up that, you know, new Jedi temple or whatever it is.
Well,
and so then he's about to do it. He's like, bro, like I didn't want you.
Jabba put me in a fucking hole.
What are you talking about? You loved it. You didn't love him.
Yeah.
You chained this thing up, or Jabba did, and you were fine with that. Like, you know, you need to look like have a bit of an introspection of the soul kind of stuff.
This could happen
like maybe the penultimate episode. And so then, you know, then he has to give up his vengeance.
And he starts to maybe a Rancor.
And then he's like, oh, I need to. He's like, you know, you need to look, if you want to do something good, like, like look at all these, you know, these other creatures, these other, like, you know, non-sapient creatures that are used to terrorize. Like when I was on the Death Star, we were nearly got by some fucking thing that just lives in the trash.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that was.
Was that intentional?
Was that intentional?
Or was that like the space equivalent of a rat?
Like,
we don't know.
We don't know. There are so many things out there that are just being used for clearly, like, you know, nefarious reasons. Do something about that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Maybe he can be like, all right.
Well, and maybe the bulk of the show can be him, you know, he's like, I got to get revenge on Luke Skywalker. But he's a lowly Rancor trainer living in a back fucking ass wash planet in the rim of the galaxy. So he's like, well, to get the power necessary to track down Luke Skywalker, I got to work my way up through the ranks of the new Hutt crime organization.
There's a power vacuum there. He overtakes.
And he's like, or even he's like, I got to just whatever Hutt is taking power next, I'll work for him so I can eventually get the power to go and attack Luke Skywalker. And then Luke goes, yeah, brother.
And then, like,
the door killed the Rancor, not me.
No, he killed the Rancor. It's just like it was a
nothing to do with
life or death. But then just be like, oh, you need to look, do something about it. And, you know, like, animal rights in Star Wars.
Yeah, okay.
Open up a farm.
Now let's wreck this.
Okay.
What if?
I'm wondering if instead of Malakili, we get rid of that character and we just make it the Boba Fett.
Boba Fett?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to get revenge for what you did to the Rancor?
Yeah, I don't know. I just think Boba Fett's there and people know him. So, you know?
Yeah, what
so
if it's...
he's in the Sarlacc pit. Right. I know he's already crawled out in another show, but we...
he put him back in the... What if...
It's just a clone. What if it's another clone?
Yeah,
like,
okay.
It doesn't have to be Boba Fett. It can be someone else.
Yeah.
But it's also just
Jobba
like...
Jobba Fett.
Yeah, it's Jobba Fett.
It's another Fett.
Yeah.
And Craig Fett?
Yeah. It's Craig Fett.
Craig and Fett. Craig Fett sounds like a Star Wars name.
Craig Fett. And okay. Craig Fett...
has to hunt down Log Skywalker. Last known coordinates...
Jar Jar Binks is great. Okay.
And we call it...
Yeah.
Star Wars.
Star Wars, get him at the Greek.
Oh, a little twist on a classic. I'm just trying to think of what characters. What if it's going to be about seeking revenge?
Yeah.
We make the main character Luke Skywalker seeking revenge on the Hutts again.
What if it's Anakin Skywalker?
Yeah.
And we just set it in that one scene that we do already sort of see where he just slaughters the Tusken Raiders.
Yeah, we just expand that out into a movie.
That's. Pretty bad.
No. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they kidnapped his mom or whatever.
Yeah. We call it Anakin Skywalker, the Revenge Story.
Yeah.
Colon Tusken Raiders.
Or, I mean, I think...
Under the Tusken Sun.
Revenge of the Anakin.
Yeah. Okay.
Under the Tusken Sun.
Under the Tusken Sun. Now, I believe that is already a movie.
Under the Tusken Sun. We really focus on that one Tusken Raider who does that, like...
The one who the cameras focus on during the pod race.
Yeah.
What a guy.
He loved to shoot pod races.
Yeah.
What is his story? I want to know more of
That's
him.
What I'm thinking as an exec. Who is this guy?
Yeah.
Who is this guy? Yeah. I love your little Mac-Achilles
story.
Yeah,
whatever, dude. Animal rights to Star Wars.
Hey, what if we did it about this one?
What if we focus on the Tusken?
Under
we took
the Tusken.
We took your Tusken Raider angle.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So he's like, cool. Yeah, Tusken Raider who hates pod races.
Mm.
And so he's an outsider who's getting his revenge.
Yeah.
On the Hutts or whatever. Maybe, it's good to the Hutts. So we get this Tusken Raider, we follow him, and he wants to kill Jabba the Hutt because he's the one that did the pod race,
yeah, of
right?
course.
So he kind of blames him for kind of maybe they bulldoze his hometown or whatever to put that the racetrack in. So he fucking hates Jabba the Hutt. And so he goes to go there to finally get his revenge.
Yeah.
But fucking Leia's already strangled
him. Yes.
Now
okay.
he's cut. Now he's so cut.
Mm.
And
that's
so now
good.
He's got to do something else. I don't know what.
Yeah.
I mean, you could probably cut up, if you're just looking for something to do after you're like, damn, I'm on a mission for revenge. Jabba the Hutt's already dead.
Yeah.
Cut him up, sign for big meat cubes.
Yeah, dude.
Surely
true.
Hot meat goes for.
Oh, well, must be crazy. Tastes
but
delicious,
that's,
dude.
But that's not going to fulfill that revenge bloodlust. Yeah.
I don't know. If I had revenge and bloodlust for someone.
Yeah.
And I went to go kill them and they're already dead. And then I cut them up into cubes and sold their meat for profit.
Yeah. I think you'd feel good, but I think that you wouldn't have completely quenched your revenge.
Yeah, that's fair.
Revenge. I think you would feel satisfied though.
Yeah.
No doubt in
no
that.
Doubt about
no doubt
that.
In that.
Not doubting it at all. But I reckon, it's like a good way to be like, this poor Tusken Raider needs revenge. And now he's got to do like, well, what do I
and
what
if
am
the
I
Tusken,
now?
And what if the Tusken Raider is force sensitive?
Yeah.
Oh, and he knows Finn.
And he knows Finn. Yeah.
He's got a lightsaber.
And he's gotten a lightsaber.
Yeah.
And then at the end.
Oh, he takes off his mask.
Yeah.
And it's Finn.
It's Finn. Yes. Okay, now we're cooking.
Yeah.
Now we're cooking.
And it's set after the Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah. And he has a sidekick.
Mm-hmm.
Babu Freak.
Babu Freak's got something else going on.
Yeah.
He's got some appointments.
Okay, a place he needs to get to pretty desperately.
Yeah,
okay.
And to meet his good friend and previously unmentioned twin, Log Freak.
So that's why we like, and then we tease the sequel, get Babu to the Greek.
Yeah, or get Babu to the Frick.
Get Log to the Frick.
Star Wars, get Log to the Frick. What the fuck? At least it would be different.
Yeah.
People would say that.
Well, do you want to hear something crazy? Malakili.
Yeah.
Also, his last canon appearance was in a little book I like to call Star Wars Aftermath Empire's End.
What? No way.
Yeah.
Damn.
That's
what
crazy.
A seminal book, apparently.
Well, I guess if it's Empire's End, it's showing you what happened
to all these
wonderful people.
He's a reoccurring character because the author of the Aftermath series expressed interest in potentially writing stories about three characters.
Mm.
And then Malakili ended up being the like featured in interluding chapters of Aftermath : Life Debt and Aftermath : Empire's End.
Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
My like something that I would like to see with Star Wars, and look, it has been done in books that are no longer canon. I don't know if anyone ever read this, but there was the Star Wars Jedi Apprentice series.
I know of it, but I never.
So basically, like, that's like the only Star Wars books that I like read when I was like a teen or like a kid. And I think they were like young adult books, but I can't really remember the tone particularly. But so basically, the plot of that is just like the day Obi-Wan gets picked by like getting picked by Qui-Gon, because Obi-Wan in that book at least. And look, Star Wars guys, if you're still listening, you got to understand. Really got to understand that my last experience with these books was 20 years ago.
I think so if you're a Star Wars guy and you're still you're listening, you're not a Star Wars guy, right?
Or you're listening for more things to write to us out of anger.
More ammo for your angry letter.
But yeah, basically, like Obi-Wan is brought to the Jedi Temple for training later than usual.
Okay.
Mm. So he's kind of like an outcast. And then when, like, so he has to, like, impress Qui-Gon, and then Qui-Gon ends up picking him, and Obi-Wan's like, but then, so like, that's fine, that's covered in the book and whatever, but Qui-Gon is like an interesting Star Wars character where you get nothing about him that's interesting in the actual movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, he's like a kind of piece of shit.
Yeah. He is an interesting
character. Some of the decisions he made directly lead to...
He sort of seems like a lunatic a little bit. Yeah.
Because he trained Count Dooku?
I think so.
Trained with Dooku?
Who trained him? Yoda? I think Yoda did.
Yeah, I think he did, yeah.
Yeah.
I do like that he's, you know, he's gambling away things and he's like, oh, yeah, well, your mom can stay. We're gambling for the boy.
Yeah.
It's just good stuff where you're like, there's so many things you could do
but all right,
you're
Qui-Gon.
Just gonna do, all right.
So is your pitch for like a Qui-Gon prequel series?
Yeah.
The training of Qui-Gon Jinn?
No, the training of Obi-Wan. But I don't really want to focus too much on the training of Obi-Wan. More just like...
That's the era?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, in... like Attack of the Clones, how you get like Anakin kind of like following Obi-Wan around as part of his training.
Yeah.
And sort of being like, what are we doing?
What are we doing?
What are we doing? I think that's like great. Like if you reverse that.
Yeah.
So it's like you see Qui-Gon with all of this stuff happening. Because then Obi-Wan's just being exposed to like fucked stuff.
Yeah.
Which I then also, I think will make the prequels a little better because you're like, oh, okay, Obi-Wan, you've been exposed to very conflicting things.
Bad then, training all the way there.
Yeah,
and then
Qui-Gon
dies, so you get no like closure.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you've got to raise this fuckhead kid.
Yeah.
So that kind of...
Are you imagining Qui-Gon has like maniac shit that he's doing? Like stuff for the Jedis, but also stuff for his own sort of like...
Yeah.
You know, like he's... When Obi-Wan, he goes and he's seeing Dexter Jester, all these like, you know, other kind of things that maybe the Jedi don't really do, but he's doing it. Like, he's got to maybe... He maybe learned that from Qui-Gon.
Yeah.
Maybe Qui-Gon... Like, sorry, Qui-Gon was trained by Dooku.
Okay. Yeah. But
well,
who
trained Dooku?
Yoda? Yoda trained fucking Dooku? Someone, dude.
Yeah. So go like Yoda trains Dooku, Dooku trains Qui-Gon,
Qui-Gon trains Obi-Wan,
Anakin. That's where it's all bad.
Yeah. Like where does the buck start? Okay.
Yeah.
The buck stops.
Yoda.
Yoda fucked it. So Yoda fucked it with Dooku.
Dooku fucked it with Qui-Gon.
He fucked it with Obi, and then Obi fucked it with Anakin.
Just terrible trainers all the way down, dude.
Yeah. That must be weird for like, you know, Yoda to be just like, okay, I train Dooku.
Yeah, true.
Fuck that.
And Qui-Gon.
Then,
fix it.
Yeah, then Qui-Gon is like, he's not alive to see, you know, Dooku go evil. But then Dooku being like, the person I trained, like, you know, he's dead now.
I
feel maybe somewhat like, you know, it's because of the Jedi. They fucked it. He's not blaming himself. And then, like, you know, Obi-Wan's there and he's like, oh, yeah, you're basically my grandson.
Yeah.
And you're here to kill me?
That is weird. It's weird that Yoda can do, because he lives for such a long time that something he's done so far back in the past.
Yeah.
He can see the fruits of his, like...
It's so furry for it. Yeah. It's like, you know, if Obi-Wan was like, and you trained Dooku. You're the reason.
Go to the swamp planet, I must. He loves to run away, dude.
Time to swamp.
go, I must.
Yes. Actually, yeah, maybe I'm ditching this Qui-Gon story. Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's a great idea, but I want to hear this.
Like Yoda's cooking adventures on Dagobah.
Yoda's cooking adventures like Huey's cooking adventures.
So he's just like set up a kitchen in Dagobah.
Nice.
And it's just like a cooking show.
Yeah, that's really great.
You get like a couple of little lore drops because he'll be like, this reminds me of that time I was talking to that guy or whatever.
Like how
I know that Huey has a friend that he fucking pisses him off because he likes his steak blue.
Yeah.
Or as Huey said, he'll eat anything that's still mooing.
Oh, yeah, classic. Yeah, yeah.
God,
Huey
was pissed off.
Oh, that's the best.
But yeah, no, Qui-Gon has a lot of interesting stuff. Probably more interesting than any of the other characters that we've got stuff expanded from in the extended universe. Because in my understanding, which is ultimately limited.
Yeah.
I feel like that they haven't dried he's kind of like thread the needle where sometimes like Luke and stuff like that, the well was dry and we were still sending a bucket down and we were just like drinking gravel.
But Qui-Gon, because you see in episode one and that's kind of it.
Yeah. And like even like, Malakili or whatever. Yeah. There's a whole arc there. Yeah. You know, you got his was a street performer, this kind of stuff where it's like these really weird side characters who have almost nothing.
Yeah, but Qui-Gon has a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
But not enough that, like, I mean, there's enough interesting stuff that you could probably streamline and turn it into a good movie.
Well, and I like that Qui-Gon sort of, and I've always liked this about him, that he's kind of got this, like, rogue Jedi energy.
He's described as a maverick on my favorite website, Wikipedia.
Yeah, he's kind of the classic cop who doesn't do anything by the book, but damn, he gets results.
Yeah.
That's Qui-Gon,
dude. Is he kind of like gray Jedi?
I
always love me a gray Jedi.
I don't know if he is quite a gray Jedi.
I mean, he is a Jedi that is trained by the Sith.
Well, this is true. Jedi in name only.
Yeah. Qui-Gon Jinn, gray Jedi. Yeah.
I don't know if he counts. I don't know. I don't know what it takes to be a gray Jedi.
So, sometimes.
Yeah, okay.
So like,
sometimes a gray Jedi.
Yeah.
No, as in like, because it doesn't quite fit because he doesn't believe in the balance of light and dark.
Mm.
He firmly believes in the light side and so the dark is like a pervasion.
Which I kind of like.
But he frequently defies the Jedi Council and follows the will of the living force rather than the rigid Jedi code. Because Qui-Gon also has a relationship, which we don't see in the movies. So he does the same thing Anakin does.
Yeah,
nice.
He's got like secret, I don't know if he's got secret family though.
Nice. I like that he also believes in midichlorians, which I think are like canon, but the idea of it just being some mad belief.
Mm.
My head canon has always been that Qui-Gon's like a lunatic crazy. And he's like,
it's like the chemtrails.
Yeah, exactly.
He's
he's a cooker. He's like, your body's full of millions of tiny bugs. Why you can do magic. Kid.
You know why I can pick this up?
Yeah.
I'm telling the bugs what to do when they're doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Seems like Qui-Gon also, like, you sort of get a taste of this in the pod racer, but he likes those events.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
but that's...
He likes the bit of a flutter. How about this? So we'll come back to
there's another
to
big
Qui-Gon.
Thing where it's set at the Dragon Fly Air Rally, which is an airspeeder race.
What about a Tweaker Jedi?
Oh, okay.
What about like a full-on like fucking Tweaker Jedi?
Yeah, because like they don't say that the people who get the Force have to be completely sane.
Like a Fear and Loss...
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas
kind of style, but with a Jedi.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude.
Real off his rocket.
Yeah, seeing lizard people everywhere.
But like actually seeing...
Well, that's a kind of a weird thing. Like, you know, in Fear and Loathing, he's like, there's lizards everywhere. Mm. But like... In Star Wars, that's normal.
Yeah, there are.
Like, when you drop acid or you take, like, a powerful hallucinogen in Star Wars, what are you seeing that's more ridiculous than your reality?
Yeah.
That's weird to think about.
Yeah.
You go, oh, my God, I'm seeing colors and lights, just like when I do a hyper job. This is
just,
not no,
just
abnormal.
Like a regular day.
Yeah. Just like space looks like sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so, weird to think about.
Yeah. Kind of like a good little Tweaker Jedi would be a fun little...
Absolutely. Little... Are you imagining them as kind of a Hunter S. Thompson type?
Kind of. I just imagine them itchy a lot.
Oh,
okay. And like with their little theories, just the idea of like, no, you know I can do this. You know I can do this. It's because of the bugs.
Because of the bugs.
We are covered.
I'm full of bugs, and it's good
in bugs. And the thing is, some of these bugs are good, but some people don't have enough bugs, so we got to get more bugs.
More bugs.
I need
into
the more
them.
Bugs.
Do you reckon death sticks taste better than cigarettes?
Yes,
yeah.
I think so.
Do you reckon they're going to be sweet? For me, some reason a death stick is like sweet.
I imagine it kind of being like a vape, more like a vape in vibe than a cigarette. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is kind of imagining a bit more, yeah, like kind of.
I was like triple as toxic. Like when you, you feel the tar.
Oh, absolutely, dude. Yeah, it's yeah. Like, going down the back of your throat.
Like the very first time of ever like sipping whiskey neat.
Oh, okay.
That's what I imagine death
Damn.
Sticks.
Yeah. Like, no, see, that, I imagine, yeah, very much like just like a cloud of sweet vapor down your throat.
Yeah.
When you smoke a death
No,
stick.
I want it to be, I want it to taste like a vape, but you get to feel, you get the drip of tar.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah.
You're like, yeah, this is good for me.
This is what I love to feel.
Okay. No, I do like a Qui-Gon prequel kind of like exploring what that was. Now, how do we fuck it up?
Oh, okay. So it's not Qui-Gon. Okay.
Done.
It's actually, we are expanding the Obi-Wan Anakin sequence from the second prequel movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, and you're grabbing all the stuff from the lore of whatever that like Qui-Gon did, and you're giving it,
you're
to,
giving
like,
it to
Anakin
Obi-Wan.
Or Obi-Wan. Or whatever.
So it's not interesting for Anakin because we already know he becomes Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Also, I just found out there's like another thing. The Star Wars canon has never revealed who Qui-Gon was in a relationship with.
Oh.
He just that he was on. He almost got killed.
Yeah.
And he kind of like went to another planet, fell in love, had a physical and emotional relationship with them. But then the Jedi Council forced him to abandon it.
Yeah.
But he still holds on to a Mustafa fire diamond given to him from that partner as a memento for their relationship.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, when he almost dies, Dooku kills the person that's about to kill him with Force lightning. And Qui-Gon's like, that's not good. Oh, well.
Never mind. Got nothing to do with me.
Hey, you're using Force lightning?
Interesting. Yeah. That'd be kind of like, oh, use a Force lightning? Oh, show me how to do that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Doesn't do it again.
Unless he's like, uses
to fear, fear leads. Oh, wait, no. Fear leads to hate. No, fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to
lightning.
Leads to lightning. That's
but like,
true.
Yeah, he can be like, that's cool. Like, we can do like Force lightning. And then he's got a little death stick and zzz.
Yes. Lighten up that death stick.
That'd be kind of cool.
But no, I think you make it about Obi-Wan and Anakin. You give everything that ever happened to Qui-Gon to Obi-Wan.
I still think you could ruin it by just having Qui-Gon.
Yeah, okay.
But like, so one thing I'm thinking of.
Set it during episode one. So there's no real
timeline difference.
Oh,
yeah, good, good.
I was thinking like.
And make it a TV series. One episode, he just remembers when he was with Dooku.
Oh, nice.
But they don't do anything. It's kind of like when in the Obi-Wan series, when Obi-Wan remembers that he trained Anakin. And they just have like a little lightsaber fight.
Yeah.
A de-aged Liam Neeson.
Oh, yeah.
So you're getting Liam Neeson back, a 75-year-old. Old man,
and
it's very clear from any action sequence when
he can't move. Like, I mean, like,
it's a
Taken 3 was like 10 years ago now, and in that movie, there is a fence jump scene, where there's like 40 cuts where he jumps over a chain link fence because they had to cut so many times to hide the fact that his old man body couldn't do that.
That's awesome. Yeah. I hope it's filmed like a kind of Van Damme style.
We make him do the splits.
Yeah.
Oh, doing the splits between two pod races.
Yeah.
Yeah, you make it a lot more of an action film. Like,
I think Han Solo should be in it.
Yes, I couldn't agree more, dude.
Young Han Solo. In fact, maybe he gives him the. I know we've already given him like how he got the name Solo,
but we
do it again.
No, we don't know how we got the name Han.
Ah.
So he says, "What are those at the end of your wrists? That's my hand." Oh. Well, I'm going to call you Han.
Or it's like, what do you put on your sandwich? Oh, ham. You say Han? No, ham. I'm going to call you Han.
I'm going to call you Han.
So Han Solo name, origin, and also we find out that Qui-Gon's real name is Qui-Gon Jim.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What if though, his name... Okay. What if his actual name?
Yeah.
He's Qui-Gon Han.
Oh.
And he's the dad... of Han Solo.
Oh, this is all lighting up. And the secret relationship.
Yeah. There you go.
Who was
there
with Dorothy Solo.
And Han Solo's real name is Jim. So they have a moment where they go, they become so close, they swap. He goes, you're my son, actually.
Yeah, to
take
honor
my
you.
Name.
Yeah.
And to honor
that's
you,
a tradition of ours.
Yours.
Yeah. You know, is that you take the name of my, I give up my last name so you can have a first name.
Yeah.
Beautiful baby boy of mine. And forevermore, you'll be called Han, and I'm going to take my wonderful wife's dad's name, Jim.
Yeah, but I got to hide it.
As is tradition.
Because obviously, you know,
people will be coming for
you're a smuggler, and people are coming for me, so I'm going to change it to Jin.
Yeah.
That's okay.
I'm going to take that M and I'm just going to break it up into two N's.
Yeah. So.
Oh, and, yeah. Finding out. Oh, yeah. That's a good way to ruin just so much.
Oh, yeah. Cameo is
just. Yeah. Cameo galore, and he is the canonical father of Han Solo.
Qui-Gon is Han Solo's dad. Han Solo knew Obi-Wan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Yoda.
And Yoda.
Yeah.
Yeah, Han Solo met Yoda.
Yeah.
But like as a baby, though.
Maybe.
Because you could make, you know. Like,
and maybe because Qui-Gon Jinn is a Jedi and his Han Solo is his son. It turns out that Han Solo did train as a Jedi on Coruscant.
Yeah.
The big Jedi temple. But he was kicked out when his dad picked.
Well, because he always preferred a blaster to a lightsaber. Yeah. You know. That's what he was.
And people go, what about when he says the forces make believe or whatever? Yeah, it's just a thing he says.
A thing he says.
That's his catchphrase throughout the TV show.
The force is bullshit.
Yeah.
I gotta get to the Greek.
Yeah.
Watching it in the cinema. Oh. Just wait for the credits. I know what they're gonna be.
Executive produced by Joel Dusha.
There it is.
Yep. So how old is a Han meant to be in episode
like
one?
Is he meant to be
30?
It's kind of my assumption, but
Solo was set
because he meets Luke. What? How old is he when he meets Luke? Like 30 odd.
I don't know.
Harrison Ford's like nearly 40, I think, when Star Wars is filmed.
Okay. But so I'm guessing, but yeah, like an actor 40, like, is that meant to be like a, you know, Hollywood like 30?
Early 30s. Actor 40 then, is early 30s.
Time for me to go back on our favorite website because this will list ages.
Yeah. And so then you're like, yeah, minus 18 odd years.
Yeah, he's kind of like a teen. Yeah. Sort of, or like early 20s.
Oh, yeah. Matt, Qui-Gon having a late teenage adult son, Han Solo. Oh,
wow.
Oh, it's so bad.
It's awful, dude.
Okay, so Han Solo is 32 when he meets Luke.
Okay. So episode one. It's even younger because, Anakin is just a little boy.
That's true. That's a good point. So he'd be a child.
Yeah.
He would be a child. You know, and maybe at the end of the TV show, for the canon heads out there, they do a mind erase spell on him so that he, you know, a Jedi just mind trick.
A little
bit
trick. Of a little forgetty.
And then in an interview we say,
Han Solo is born the same year that Qui-Gon dies.
Dude.
Qui-Gon has a secret love child he doesn't even know about.
Yeah.
There it is. There's your like, oh, my, he's fucking someone. She's pregnant. And then we don't know what's going on. And
my
then it's like, comes
Greek.
Out. It's like
Greek Solo.
Yeah. And then it's like, oh, what planet
Han
is it?
Solo, get him to the Greek.
Yeah. And like it pulls out or whatever. And it's like, you know, home planet, Hans.
Yes, dude. His name's actually Hans Olo.
Hans Olo.
Yeah. The greatest secret of Star Wars is about to be revealed.
This summer. She's giving birth. They're like, you know, what are we going to call him? And then she looks at the surgeon's hand. And she's like,
Hands. Zooms in. It was just hands.
Wow, dude. This is a really bad movie.
This is bad. You fucked it.
I'm standing in this cinema clapping.
Google my name. Go on. Google my goddamn name.
I picked all of them. I didn't know, okay?
Yeah. His real name is Greek Hans.
Yeah. His real name is Get Him.
Get Him.
To the Greek.
I didn't know.
How could I have known?
I mean, Russell Brand's vibe was off.
Yeah.
But the Jonah Hill stuff didn't come out until like nearly a decade later.
So what was I supposed to know?
I mean,
fair enough.
Maybe
that's
I should have done some more research.
Sure.
And Elizabeth Moss, she was a Scientologist when I hired her still. Okay.
But like, hey, Tom Cruise.
Based on performances. Okay.
Tom Cruise is a Scientologist, and like, he's been very quiet about it recently.
And how was I meant to know Nick Kroll's dad helped with 9/11? Through negligence and money under the table.
What's that? The performances weren't good?
Yeah.
Huh? But. You should have seen the other guys.
Oh, funny joke. Right?
Okay. It's a spin-off. Okay.
Jonah Hill plays a different character to the movie that...
It's a spin-off. Come on.
Why don't you just... Why not make the same character? Why do they do that?
I don't know, dude. Get Him to the Greek is the most mysterious movie ever made.
TJ Miller.
TJ Miller, dude.
He
didn't know. You didn't know.
Yeah. You,
it's not your fault, yeah. dude.
Your fault. He went real crazy. Called the bombs.
And that was the second crazy, baddest yes. thing he did.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, no, it's a, yeah, Qui-Gon Jinn being Han's dad is a great way to really just wreck that so much. Oh,
absolutely.
Imagine the riots at Comic-Con. They drop a trailer.
I reckon, though, they'd clap.
You reckon they'd clap?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't tell.
I think that it's...
when I see a trailer for a new Star Wars thing, all I see is vitriol, but there must be people out there that are excited
I saw a post going viral where it was like, just saw the Mandalorian and Grogu trailer on the big screen. And something needs to be seen to believed because it looks way worse.
Yeah. That's what I've seen too. I've seen people being like, I've seen a slow but sure rehabilitation of what was the last
Rise song? Of Skywalker?
Rise of Skywalker. Because
we're going too far. We focus Last Jedi and The Force Awakens. Well, Last Jedi is really good.
Yeah.
Force Awakens is fun.
Yeah.
Just this fun blockbuster. Rise of Skywalker, let's not redeem a bad movie.
Well, because people are just like, well, it looks good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's all people say.
Star Wars movies all look good except for certain parts of the prequels.
Because then they're comparing it to Grogu and the Mandalorian and being like, wow. Literally the next these are the two Star Wars theatrical releases close.
Only there was a director like Steven Soderbergh maybe directing with a lower budget where it would have just been like cool and fun and whatever. Yeah.
But somehow we're like, no, I don't want this.
Now, Baby Yoda, dude.
Baby fucking Yoda.
Sell toys.
Dude, and it's a sequel to like four seasons of TV, including one season of TV where people didn't, if a casual fan didn't know, they wouldn't assume this was related at all.
This is gonna
go bonkers at the box office.
It's gonna go absolutely.
My advice is if you want to see the Mandalorian and Grogu, go early.
Yeah, yeah.
Streaming same day.
Yeah,
yeah, dude.
Yeah, I think this could be a bad time for a Star War.
Okay. Well, how about this then? I will pitch that if this had been announced prior to some of these Disney Plus, series, the vitriol or whatever. Maybe if it was
if they made this after season two of the Mandalorian, people would be on board.
Yeah.
Book of Boba Fett fucked everything up.
Qui-Gon being Han's dad.
Oh, right.
I think if this had been after The Force Awakens,
yeah,
I reckon you get people. They're in the little Hall H or whatever.
I think
they put this on the screen. Qui-Gon is Han's dad. But I don't want to say that because that'll give it away. But it's like we're doing a Qui-Gon Jinn, origin story, and we're going to find out, who is this mysterious lover?
Absolutely.
And all this kind of stuff. And there's like a shot of like a pregnant woman. Everyone's like, well, who could that be? What's going on?
A shot of a little boy running through a kind of like spacey farm, and he's got like Han Solo's little jacket on. Just something similar. And then you see on the message boards, people are like,
Is that Han fucking Solo? I reckon Qui-Gon Jinn's going to be like Han's dad.
Yeah.
And then it's a fake out. And what if, though, it's all about this way.
Qui-Gon is Obi-Wan's dad.
No, Jar Jar's dad. He fucked the Gungan.
Whoa. Fuck him to the Gungan.
Yes. Fuck him to the Gungan.
Yes,
yeah. Finally, a movie I could see.
That's why, when he sees all these, Gungans in episode one, he's like, he's chill with it. He knows. He's like, where's your city or whatever?
Exactly.
He's so fine because he's known there.
Mm. Yeah.
Because he's tasted Gungan before. Yeah. You know what that's like.
Hey, nice to meet you. Where's your city at? I know what pussy tastes like. Gungan pussy tastes like.
It's delicious to me.
Wait, but he also wants to keep it a secret. So, when him and Obi-Wan are like about to jump in, he's like, "Have you ever tasted Gungan pussy, Obi-Wan?" And Obi-Wan's like, "What?"
He's
like,
"No, Master.
No, me neither.
I just had a stray thought.
just a stray thought.
Lost that memory lane.
If people act like they know me down there, they don't."
It's like a lot of Gungans with like really long hair, like tied up.
Yeah. Slightly kind of like got a bit of an accent.
Yeah.
How long did you spend down here?
If you look at like Gungans before Qui-Gon Jinn went to Gungan City, they were more like frog looking. They're a lot of more boss nats looking
Gungans.
Full
disclosure, my young Padawan, I'm sort of like the Genghis Khan.
Of Gungans.
Of Gungans.
Gungans, when they ovulate, it's like 100 eggs, and you better believe I came along.
I've only slept with about 40.
Right. You don't understand, young Padawan, is my proclivities often include Gungans.
Yes, I've got a taste for Gungan.
Yeah.
Have you ever come on eggs, Obi-Wan? Look, it's delightful.
It's a wonderful feeling.
Look, Obi-Wan, when we go down to Gungan City, there's going to be some offers of a Gungan orgy, and look. You should say yes.
I am aware of the Jedi Code, but
there's nothing in the Gungan, like the Jedi Code, about Gungan eggs.
What happens underwater stays underwater, my young Padawan.
There is nothing in the Jedi bylaws about what happens underwater.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Gungan orgies, Master Padawan Obi-Wan.
Mm. Damn, dude. That goosey? That gungusi?
That gungusi.
Gungusi go crazy.
Go crazy in that underwater city,
young
dude.
Obi-Wan. That gungusi.
That gungusi go crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Can't wait to get. Can this ship go faster?
I'd watch that movie.
Yeah. Jar Jar, you feel like you put hair on you.
Jar Jar, yeah. It's his boy, dude.
Yeah.
It's his boy.
That's crazy. And I think that this is good. And I think all of these movies are beautiful.
Yeah, I agree.
I'd watch all of them day one. And when we do podcasts like this, I think of the people that I know in real life that listen and I go,
Wow.
Well, it was nice knowing them.
Yeah.
Don't worry, we made another good one.
Yeah, this is one of the good ones.
Actually, it's true. I've heard the podcast that we've done today.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a good one.
This was a solid
I really wish I wasn't. If you're watching this one on YouTube, I'm wearing a very notable jumper.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You'll be able to tell the ones I'm talking about when you're like, oh, that pink jumper's.
That episode they did earlier that was crazy.
That was normal.
Yeah, it was normal. We're on the podcast network.
Normally, I would jump to the emails, but my phone's outside.
Yeah. We'll check the emails next week.
We'll check the emails next week. Okay.
Yeah.
My phone had like 10% charge. I had to charge it.
You came in, fair. Like, what? Did you not?
Did I not what?
Charge your phone overnight?
No, it was. I don't think so. It was on like 50% on my way in, which I thought was peculiar.
So you drank like 40% in like half a day?
I guess.
What are you doing?
I don't know, dude.
My phone's on 85% and I've used mine for podcasting today.
Yeah.
I was on the phone before.
Take it up with my fucking phone.
Dude, it was crazy. I was making calls.
I saw you on the phone before. Dude, it was a sight to see.
Yeah.
It's a sight to fucking behold.
You mightn't get some emails today, but you can think about me being on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
Here's a
sneak preview.
For YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
That's really
good,
dude.
He's so good at his phone.
I opened my laptop, so I was like reading stuff.
Oh, yes. My God.
He's not even talking to the mic now.
Fuck the mic.
So if you want to email this beautiful show of ours,
BSBoysPod@gmo.com. And normally I have my phone.
Yeah. Normally he's got his phone. Normally I would have a phone, but I actually don't know. Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Anyway, look.
It's good to find the phone.
And also, if you want to support Baseless Speculation, if you want more of this, you can sign up to Baseless Speculation Plus. It's literally, if you're on Apple, it's just a press of a button.
Click of the button.
It's that fucking easy.
Click of the button.
And you get a bonus episode of Baseless Speculation every month.
Occasionally, whenever I watch Shang-Chi, I watched
the dinosaur movie recently, and you wouldn't let me talk about it, which I thought was rude.
What the fuck?
Plus, you get ad-free episodes and access to the Discord. So, hey, get on that shit. And hey, tell us in the comments on Spotify or on the YouTube video or wherever. Which Star Wars movie would you watch, if any?
How would you, I don't know how you could, wreck some of these beautiful ideas?
Yeah, exactly.
And if some of you are listening to this episode and you're thinking, they just pitched Star Wars movies. That reminds me. Wrong.
Very wrong.
Whatever.
I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
And I've also been Joel. Whatever you're thinking, stop that.
Goodbye.